Okay, so B'siyat HaNishmaya, we're going to begin to conclude Sichas Ran Hey after a number of Shiurim. I think we have 3 Shiurim so far. This is the 4th Shiur on Sichas Ran Hey. We're going to, Be'ezra Hashem, go through the end of Sichas Ran Hey, which is obviously related to what we've been discussing, but another chelik of it. And then we're going to delve into Sicha Vav, and then we'll be all cut up to start a new Sicha Be'ezra Hashem next time, B'siyat HaNishmaya, with the help of the Master of the World. Thank you guys for schlepping out in the not-so-nice weather. And let's begin, okay? So I don't see the get right. You don't have it in front of you, so try to follow along. It's a little bit of a lengthy piece over here, but it's one Indian. It's not, you know, it's one thing. So continuing what we've been learning until this point in Sicha Hey, Va'amar, the Heiliger Rebbe said, Zchus Yagun Leinu, She'elu HaTachbulos, that these strategies, Va'amtsais, and different kinds of inventions, Shemtsiu HaPhilosophim Chachmasam, that either philosophers, with regard to political philosophy, for example, right, and philosophy isn't simply just speculation, there's actual things that are built, right, off certain kinds of thinking. For example, like I said, political philosophy about a country, right, how are we, what's the best way for a country to be arranged, what's the best kind of declaration of independence, you know, or constitution, right? That's going to give rise to a functioning society. So all of these kind of things, shem siwa philosophim chachmasam kagoyin, and for example, physically, right? Klei melchama neflaim, inventors that sit and spend their whole lives trying to invent something awesome that can be used in war, that can be used to vanquish the enemy, to kill as many people as possible in the quickest way possible. Ushar kelim asuyim, and all other kinds of vessels, all other kinds of objects that they create, that they invent b'tachbulos, with all of their different thoughts and all their different wisdoms, al pi chachma, all of the different wisdom that is kulam chachma sisa, right? That is invested into this invention or this vessel. And all these other kinds of things, that all of their chachamim are inventing all of these new things that appear to be brand new in the world that never existed before, even though Shlomo HaMelech already said, "Ein kol chadash tachas hashamesh," that everything already existed in the past. Amar Rabbi Nachman says an interesting thing, "Shahakol milamala." The truth is that all of these inventions that ultimately, aside from the fact that it didn't come from them, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends into a person's brain a certain idea, why Dafka, and Rabbi Nachman is going to say, why Dafka this Chacham and not somebody else? Why Dafka was this person, even secularly speaking, why was one person drawn toward geometry and one person drawn to chemistry? What is that, right? Why? Obviously, because each person has a different, even in a secular sense, a different Sharish Hashem, has a different propensity, right? Nature, nurture, whatever it is, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu implants people in the world to move it forward. So aside from the fact that it's not them, right, be'etzem, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using them to bring new ideas into the world. Aside from that, but the Baal HaTanya in the beginning of Shari Yichud V'Emunah Perek Aleph Perek Beis, it's not very long. Shari Yichud V'Emunah is about 13, 14 prakim. It's a pretty short work, but it's Michlal HaKol Shari Yichud V'Emunah. Really, the foundations of the Baal Shem HaKadosh is sort of approach to Emunah and the way that a Chassid is supposed to see the world. And so the Baal Tanya talks about something over there that, you know, hilariously enough, I don't know, it's not such a chiddush, but the Nefesh HaChayim Mamish says the same exact thing. Mamish, almost the same words. The same exact nekuda, like I expressed in previous shir, and there's very little that's essentially, you know, different. There was a difference in approach, it was a difference in focus, a difference in stress, you know, but it wasn't two religions. It's Mamish, the same nekuda. It's Anachnu Maminim Bnei Maminim, the Amunah that we received on our Sinai. It was just a question of what to stress for what generation, and what the different risks of stressing different parts was. But the Baal Tanya over there in the Nefesh HaChayim as well draw a mighty distinction between Yesh Me'ayin and Yesh Me'yesh. Yesh Me'yesh, to create something from something else that was already in the world, that was already created, right? To take pieces of wood that came from a tree and turn it into a table is fundamentally different in the sense of the relationship between creator and creation in Yesh Me'yesh than Yesh Me'ayin. What's the difference? Yesh Me'yesh means that there existed something outside of you that you had no shaychus with, essentially. You came across a tree that somebody had chopped graciously, or you take an axe and you cut down a tree, that the tree and the wood was there before you came. You assemble it into a table, and in the same way that it was there before you came, it's going to be there after you leave. Right, because there's nothing essential with regard to your own personality in connection to this inyan or to these materials. Memela, your relationship with that creation is very, very secondary. Right, It's secondary in the sense that it's not an essential relationship. You built it. It was there before you came. Memela, after you leave, it's a yesh miyesh. And so it's going to remain there after you leave. But the difference between yesh miyesh and yesh mi'ayin is that when it comes to creation, yesh mi'ayin, which we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and recreates the world each and every moment. Yesh mi'ayin, amachadish b'tuvay, b'chol yoyin, not just every day, but tamid, right? Every single millisecond of every day, beyond that, right? Until the, you know, until there's no time, you know? Keep on zooming in, if we wouldn't even have the ability to measure that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing the world into being yesh mi'ayin every moment. What's the difference? Is that yesh mi'ayin, because there was nothing before the creation takes place, there was no materials that were there that then got constructed into another form, and then after the person who created it leaves, they're still there. When it's yesh mi'ayin, so memela, because it's yesh mi'ayin, and because all the materials that are utilized to create something else will only be there if the creator is there, because he's the one bringing the materials into being that he then utilizes to construct something. If he were to back away, it would be efes v'tayu. There would be nothing there anymore. There's an essential relationship between creator and creation, in the sense that yesh me'ayin, because the ayin comes from within the creator, so to speak, comes from, we spoke about the man de nafach, mitoiche nafach, we spoke about the breath that HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathes into Hashkoyach Hashikach. Mamash, thank you. No problem. No, we started with this. It's fine. Thank you so much. Mamash Hashikach. Right? So this breath that the master of the world breathes out creation, right? And utilizes that breath to speak that sarah, mamar shabem nebra olam, that fill the whole entire world that we spoke about, and the ability to follow through or to enter into Boyal HaTeva, like Noach is told, to come into the Teva, not just the Ark, but to come into the words of the creation, but certainly the words of Torah and Tzvila, and to trace it back to the root, to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu there. So it's mamash the same inyan. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world yesh me'ayin, that means that if we're experiencing creation, that is a creation, yesh me'ayin, it means that we're not only experiencing creation, we're experiencing Creator. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is necessarily here. Each and every moment, every particle of physicality is being constantly, constantly brought from nothingness into everythingness that we experience. Mamish. So that's a fundamental difference between the yesh miyesh that he's speaking about, all the inventors, all the koiches. There was nobody who invented a musical note. It was there, right? And somebody utilized it in a melody to create the most beautiful melody in the world. Nobody invented electricity. It was a koach that was there that was then channeled. But everything essential in the world is yesh mi'ayin. That's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. Anybody else who comes is basically the yesh miyesh, and that's one of the essential differences between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A human being cannot create yesh mi'ayin. We can create yesh mi'ayin. Even the things that start from molecules, nothingness, right? For example, the birth of a child that starts from, what does it start from? Nothing. Mamash, nothing. But even that, there's chach something, right? And that there's a third partner that mamash comes into that, you know, that relationship, and mamash takes the nothing, right, and turns it into mamash everything in the world, a human being. But there's nothing that a human being can go ahead and create yesh mi'ayin, ayin ha, you know, hechlet. Even all of our thoughts, right, are only based on the realities that we're functioning within. Time, space, different ideas that came before us. We can build on those ideas, develop those ideas, but ultimately only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating literally yesh mi'ayin, mamash ayin, that eventually, when Mashiach comes, will invent or bring into the world the eighth note. What's the eighth note? It's mamish like Ikilu. The biggest, most musical genius in the world cannot fathom an eighth note, because there are currently only seven revealed. Because that's yesh miyesh. So he can utilize what's already been discovered, right? Or what our brains can be masik. Then he can go ahead and utilize all of those already revealed notes and make 1,000 melodies, right? Or infinite number of melodies with all the different akudas that go into melody, right? And tone and rhythm, b'chule, all of the different aspects of melody. But the eighth note is HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed another aspect of his godliness and decided to channel another bechina of ayin into a new yesh, right? And that's only by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yesh me'ayin. So he says over here, Amar Shakol Milamala, really everything that seems to be new is only drawn from above. Ki lo yehoya esh lehem lovei al zeh, rak al yidei shehisnoit etzlahem haseichel b'zayis hachachma. Was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he wanted the ball moved forward technologically, or you know, in any aspect, in medicine, and any studies or areas of secular wisdom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings chachma into the world. Shebal oisei hachachma snoit etzotzmila mala, that there's a certain illumination that shines upon this particular person, that he has a brainstorm, right? A lot of the things, by the way, big, you know, discoveries happen by mistake, right? What is that? That's all hashgacha, even though they'll be the first to say it, that they happened upon a discovery, right? Eureka. It's like, it just, oh my gosh, it suddenly hits this person. Why? Is he smarter than anybody else? Is he more learned than anybody else? Usually not, right? Most of the time, not. So what is it? That means that HaKadosh Baruch is involved in a major way, that even they'll be the first to be maskim, that ultimately to be able to bring something brand new into the world, it had to come from above. It had to come from above. It had to come from a place beyond. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that now is the time that something new should be brought into the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down into the world something, yesh miyesh. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's coming yesh me'ayin. But when he implants it into this person's mind, he's only ever able to express it in the way of yesh me'yesh. And it's a bechina of not essential to him. Not coming from him. Menachman says, the previous generations, these secular philosophers and scientists and geologists and everything else, what do you think? They weren't all studying the same material, given the same set of facts. They were also mamish on that nekuda. So why didn't they discover the breakthrough that this person discovered? Must be that it came in the mala. So why didn't they discover it? Why somebody else? What changed? When it comes time for this thing to be brought into the world, as I'm a snoite to Yaseichel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing it into the world. So he seems to be saying here that even the philosophical speculation that Reb Nachman says stay away from, even that is not even philosophical speculation, because even that is only milamala. Everything's milamala. Everything, hakol. So Reb Nachman says, even this, that what you can understand with your limited mind, but why do you have a mind? Who gave you the ability to think? All of it is founded on Emunah. The fact that you have a mind at all, that there's a yesh me'ayin, that your mind is a yesh, and that the ideas that you're functioning on, right, is a b'china of yesh. Where did that come from? It came from an ayin, right? So even that is tochor atzuf Emunah, to a person who really understands. As I'm a snoy to tlei aseichav, as boy oisa achachem, lo oisa tachbula. Ah, here we have the sheets. I apologize. Yeah, here you can follow along. Totally. Okay? Ki nishlach lo min l'malo, because it came from above. From the place where it reached him from. Rabbi Nachman says over here, derech ha-kedusha. It's certain that these people are not receiving these ideas derech ha-kedusha. Rak derech ha-sitra'achar v'zapasha. All these things are coming from the negative side. Most of the things we have an ability to elevate. There are certain things in the world that are unelevatable, but that's all sagin tanya. But it's not coming derech ha-kedusha. And we're going to see over here from the Ben Ishchai a hosafa to this. So look at the first. What's that?
He's usually saying it's not going to Kedusha, it's coming from Sidra'acha.
Right.
It can't be coming from neither.
It can be coming from neither. There's another point that's called the Klipas Noga, which is not Kedusha, but it's not completely evil. And that's the Klipa that's sort of, it's in Makom, it manifests in the Yardim, which sometimes is Nichlal into Eretz Yisrael, sometimes Nichlal into Chutz La'aretz. Right? It's Erev Shabbos. If we make an early Shabbos, it's Shabbos. If we don't make an Erev Shabbos, it's Friday. Okay, so there is a Bechino called Klipas Noga, and it's a big beer to be able to really look at the world with an open eye and say, okay, what is this thing? Is this elevatable? Is this something that I can really channel, or is it totally Yitzhari? Rabbi Nachman says Sitra'achar, he doesn't say Klipas Noga. I don't know exactly, but let's see in the Ben Ishchai how he puts this. But basically in Tanya, without getting into the whole thing now, but the Baal Tanya in the beginning explains, and this is the foundation of his whole theology, is that the whole Torah can basically be split into the Bechina of Shalosh Klipas Atmeis Legamri, which is three Nekudas that are completely, completely unelevatable, that are hinted to in the Navi Yecheskel's vision, where Yecheskel sees an Eish Mislakachas and Anun Gadol. He sees these three very loud and tremendous and dark and scary and awesome visions, and those three visions that he sees are an aspect of Shalosh Klipos Atmeis Legamri, things that cannot be elevated. Then it says the Pesoch in the middle he saw a Noga, and that's the glowing light that can be mamish either way, really either way. And then inside of that is the Bechina of Chashmal. And Chashmal is like, we say electricity is Chashmal, but it means buzzing Elokus, and that's Kedusha. And said the Baal Tanya, the entire Torah can be split among these three categories. The things that are Aser, Ishalos Klipas, that means like Gamri. That's why they're called Aser, because Aser means to be bound. They're not, you can't lift them up. They are tied down in the realm of the Sitra Achra, and that's it. The mitzvos are Bechina of Chashmal, complete Kedusha. Everything that's mutter is klipas noga, and it depends how we use it. And that was one of the Baal Shem Tov's chidushim, what he brought down to the world, that really every part of life can be elevated into kedusha. Why? Because he brought into the world this nekuda. Based on Chaim Vital, I mean, these are not chidushim, but it was a chidush and application to really say, open your eyes and realize how much of your life is begeder klipas noga. That if you use it properly, kamamish build for Hakadosh Baruch Hu a dir betachtonim to elevate, to bring the world back to Him, to make the lovey mishkan evna, but to make the world into a mishkan for the master of the world. That's chassidus in a nutshell, right? To be able to realize that so much of life has the ability to become part of our avodas Hashem and to become channeled in a holy way. So look at the Ben Ish Chai. In a sefer Halach Hashana Beis, basically it's a sefer that he set up little piskei halachas, his drushes that he gave, but he put together always agada, it's really Kabbalah, a lot of it, but agada and halacha. So he begins every drusha, every parsha, it's set up in 2 years, 2 years of drushes, and the beginning of every, it's set up apida parsha, meaning, you know, when he was darshaning, and many times the Yom Tovim, for example, are connected to different parshias, and that's when he darshaned. In Hilchos Purim, for example, parshas Mishpatim, whatever it is, right around those times. The Yeshiva is Chanukah and so on and so forth, but it begins always with a drasha. Imam is one of the earliest farim that I learned. Was the, I don't know why this Ben Ish Chai, I guess I always saw my father learning it. Ben Ish Chai halacha is some of the most incredible chlal Ben Ish Chai is out of this world. You know, Ben Yoyada, unbelievable farim. But listen to what he says. Nimsa, he says, it's at the end of a longer piece. He says, Gam chidushim hanolad min ha-tayra, hein yu kemoy ha-tayra atzma. When a person has a chiddush in the Torah that you're learning, which we're going to talk about chiddush Torah in a minute, Rabbi Nachman contrasts the chiddushim of the world and the chiddush Torah. Heim yu kemaya Torah atzma she'ein mekablim tuma. In the same way that the Torah is not mekabel tuma, our chiddush Torah not mekabel tuma. Why? Because the Gemara tells us that kol ma she'talmud vasik asel ischadish nemar l'moshe b'sinai. Everything that talmud vasik, that a wise student throughout the generations is going to come up with and be mechadish in the Torah was already given to Moshe on our Sinai. I saw in another sefer that only Moshe Rabbeinu knew all the chidushim. But each and every person has their chelik in Torah, and outside of Moshe Rabbeinu, no other tzaddik knows everybody else's chidush. That means that we have something to bring to the table that even the gedoyle adar, the tzaddik adar, the tzaddik adar, they don't have access, because each and every one of us has something new to add, right? And so this is the nekuda of chidush Torah that are nichlal in the kedusha of the Torah itself, just like the Torah is not makabel tuma, our own chidush Torah, simple as we think they are. And it's such a big tikkun to write down chidush Torah. It's a big tikkun. It's such a medrash talpias and other places. Zohar Kadosh says that if a person has a chidush and he doesn't write it down, he's stealing. Mom is stealing. Hashem gave it to you for a reason. Bring it into the world. It's not yours to keep inside. It's not yours. That's the Zohar. And the Medrash Talpia says that it's in the place of Karbanis. He says, we can't bring Karbanis today, but when a person writes down Chidush HaTaira, that's Mom is bringing a Karban. So it's a big tikkun to be able to have Chidushim, to trust in our ability to be Mechadish. Rabbi Nachman wanted us very, very powerfully to be Mechadish in his Torah, as long as we're not over on Sifkatan and Shulchan Aruch, he said. But he said, you can twist my words any way you like. Come up with Chidushim. He wanted to give us a Koach Adimi into Kedusha. And it's very easy. Once you really get into the world, the ocean of the Likutei Moran, you see it, you start coming up with so many chidushim. So the ikar is to write them down and to look out for them. It's a different consciousness when you learn, knowing that you can come up with a chidushim, like that's okay. And not only is it okay, it's a big tikkun. Big tikkun. Okay? So they're not mekabel tuma. Da'achi kaimalan, because this is what we paskin in the Gemara Bechayr, is hayoytzim en atar, is already tar. Something that comes out from tar is going to be tar as well. Mashe enkein ha'hoylich achra philosopher akafran. Is a person that goes in the way of philosophy, that's the bechina of heresy, right? Kivan shehi yoytis mituma, so kol chiddush amoyli mimenu gam kin chelik tamei, because hayoytis mitamei is tamei, da'achi kaimalon, kol hayoytis minatamei is tamei. So in that area over here, you see the Ben Ish Chai also talking in this way of tuma, mamash, there's something, it's a ruach of tuma there. And again, the klipas noga is also klipa, it's also tuma, it's not complete Tumah, so we have the ability to break it, to shatter it, and to elevate it. We're going to learn about elevating Bezer Hashem and Sicha Vav. But over here, he also uses this lashon. V'loy oy, elagam im yesh b'tarovis midvarim toivim. Even if there are some good things in there that we can apply, that we can utilize, al toimar, a person should not say, El madavra toiv hamu'uruv babalvad. So let me just take what's good and I'll leave the rest. Ela harchik gam midvarim toivim shaba. Distance yourself even from those parts of it that are good, that are pure. Ki kivun chenis arvu v'nis chabru ima nasu kamaya. Because since it was connected to it, it's already becoming like it. V'haloymen oisam, maybe ro'al l'nafshein. A person that delves into that kind of liban and study, maybe ro'al l'nafshein is ultimately bringing ra' on himself, because you're drawing in the place of revelation. You're drawing from the place of gaiva. You're drawing from the place of our own understanding, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that to us, but all within the system of revelation. And so, philosopher kafranis, which is specifically the heresy shabai, don't even take the good stuff there, because ayoyitz men atame tame. But kach aymrim ul devaira, and this is what the Medrash says, we say to the bee, it's a mashal, lemi uktzach lemi dushach, we don't want your honey, we don't want your bite, we don't want anything to do with you. So we'll save ourselves from getting bitten, and we also won't have honey, but it's better for us to just stay away from the Indian lekamri. If you look in the Tanya, this is what we're starting to talk at a little bit, he has a little bit of a different approach, even though he mamish says a lot of this as well, in the sense of the tumah that these studies are rooted in. So let's take a look at the Tanya Schusi Agan Leinu in Perek Ches, and the Heilige Baal Tanya says the following: V'chein ha'oisik b'chachmas umas ha'olam, and the same applies to those that are oisik in the chachmas umas ha'olam. Bichlal dvarim b'teilim yichashev le'inin avim b'tol Torah. So he doesn't go into the tumadika nature of it, but he says stam it's an aveir because it's bichlal b'tol Torah, and anything that's not Torah and anything that's not assisting Torah, which we're going to see how he says in a minute, because the Baal Tanya was a big philosopher, big, and Chabadnikers are so much into Rambam and all that stuff. So, and he's going to mention the Rambam explicitly. We'll get there. But al kapanim, if it has nothing to do with Torah and it's not helping, so forget about the nature of philosophy. It's a sin because it's bittul Torah, because it could be, you could use in that time for something that's kaddish. But right, so he says kamashi kasati bilchas talmud Torah, like I wrote in the Shulchan Aruch Harav with regard to talmud Torah, that mamish, you know, it's very intense. You look in Shulchan Aruch Harav and hilchas talmud Torah, it's not pashit. You know how much a person needs to be learning every second, and mamish, you know, bittul Torah is a real thing. It's a big thing. Thank you so much. But it's even worse, he says, because aside from the inin of dvarim b'teilim shabai, which is the chait of bittul Torah, but there's another nekuda of tumah. That's what the Ben Ishchai said. That's what the Rabbi Nachman says. The bechina of tumah that shabai. And here Imamish says it. Shachachmasu umes al tumas dvarim b'teilim she'enoi malbish umetame rak hamidos misayda ruach hakadosh benafshe likis. But tumas klipas noiga shabedvarim b'teilim. He says, stam dvarim b'teilim. You're sitting around and talking politics, or talking about the big snowstorm, or talking about something. It's dvarim b'teilim. But al kopanim, what's it malbish? It's malbish your emotions. You're not really mamming your chachma into it. It's not influencing the way that you think, right? It's just stam. It's dvarim b'teilim. You don't have to think much about it, which is why you'd rather do that than learn, because learning takes you a gear, and something else is just, it's fun to talk about, right? It's not an avoida. It's not an avoida. So he says it's not so bad. No, it's not that it's not so bad. It's terrible. But it's not as bad as what? As philosopher Kafranis in the Lashon of the Ben Ishchai, Chakiris in the Lashon of Rabbi Nachman. These Devarim B'Teilim don't affect the Chachma Bina B'Dasha Boy. That's the etzim of who you are, right? That's the essence of who you are. That the Midas are drawn after the Moichin, right? That the main thing is Chachma Bina B'Das. How we think influences the way that we feel, but the essence of who you are is in your mind. That's the Machshav Tishal Adam, the Baal Shem Tov Toat Sham Hu Adam. That's where the person is, where your Machshava is. Me'ach Shem Divrishus, Uburis, the Stam stupidity. Shigam Ashoitim Ami'arzi Chavam the Dabar Kain. You're not saying anything wild or anything deep or anything essential to you. Stam. But when a person is really studying, you know, in an intense way, the chachmas u'umais who malbish u'metame, not just the emotions, but b'chinas chachma bina v'dashe v'nafshe l'kis, b'tumas, so here he says it, klipas noiga, right? Here he says it. It's a tumah. And that's what the Baal Tanya said, that's what the Ben Ishchai said, and that's what Rabbi Nachman says. They're drawing it from a place of sitra afra. It's tumah, but it's klipas noga, right? But tumas klipas noga shebachachmas elu shenaflu shama b'shir sakelim. That the holy sparks fell into this place, and it can be elevated, but it's a dangerous engagement, right? With this thing, but b'chinas acharayim shel chachma de gedusha. That's drawing from the, you know, the back, you know, the back and that external portion of Chachma de Kedusha ki yidili yadichein, as those who know chen as Rosh Hativus Chachmas Nister, as those that are, you know, familiar with these concepts in Kabbalah understand. Ela im kein oisa oisan kardam lachtech b'hem. And here he says what the tikkun of the Klipas Noga will be if you make it into an axe, so to speak, to chop in a positive sense. Dahainu kedei lesparnis mehem b'rivuach la'avad Hashem. Either that this is your panasa and you're a geometry teacher, right, or your philosophy teacher, and you're using that money, even though you don't believe in any of this shtuyot, but you do it because that's your job. What can you do? That's the job that you got. And then you're able to use that money that you get for Avodas Hashem. That's called channeling it, right? That's called utilizing this that's in the world in a positive way. Or if you dafka know how to engage with this stuff, to utilize it, and Rabbi Nachman would say, just don't bother with it. It's a waste of time. Like, why do that if you can tap into Chachma de Kedusha? But Al Kalpanim, there were those that tried and succeeded. And there are many that failed. But and Rabbi Nachman said, we never saw a Yari Shemayim that came out of this, you know, specifically a Yari Shemayim, an Ish Kashari Yari Shemayim. But Al Kalpanim, there were those that utilized this for their limud HaTorah, for their Avodas Hashem. V'zeh, he says, this was the reason. Zeh taima shel Rambam v'Ramban v'Seyasan she'asku v'hem, that we do find that they engaged in the study of philosophy, because even though it's Tumah, even though it's Tzitracha, Klipas Noga, and it has the ability to be elevated. And that's an interesting thing to see with the Medrash Chai and from Rabbi Nachman. So here, the Heilige Rebbe finishes Sicha Hei. Let's get back into the Sicha. V'gam lahavdil, Rabbi Nachman draws a mighty distinction between those elu ha'aymrim pshatim v'chidushim b'gemara peirish Rashi v'taisus. I'm sorry, not that he's drawing a distinction. Well, he is, because he says lahavdil. When you say lahavdil, when we want to talk about something similar, but that's completely not what we were speaking about before. But v'gam means to draw a similarity, that it's the same exact way in chidush Torah. That in the same way that we discussed, and he's going to say this inside, the same way that we discussed, that those that are originating ideas and secular wisdoms, it's coming in the mala. So mamash chiddush, and he says, Gemara, you know, Gemara perish Rashi b'Tosfos, just you're learning a sugya, and you have a new idea, a new mahalach. There's a, you know, like they say, there's like a svara in the room, you know, you don't have it in your hand yet, but there's a, something's opening up. A new way of thinking, a new way of understanding. Maybe we could touch up Rashi's words this way, v'chule. That whole experience of Liman HaTorah, the Chadri Torah, What an amazing experience that's never ending, that's infinite. Rechavim in Ayam. Ilu loy hayan nishlach lehem l'malam in Hashemayim, I efshal lehem klal lovay ala chiddush. You should know this, that when you're engaged in this process of coming up with chidushi Torah, be aware that you are engaged in a process of drawing from the realm of ayin, that it's yesh me'ayin, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing it into your mind from a place that's above and beyond this world, and that He is present in that experience. You're engaging with the noisen HaTorah Himself, hamalami Torah la'ami Yisrael kipshutai, that He's literally sending these ideas into your mind. He has a relationship with you that's so deep. He's a part of the process. Rak be'emes hakol milamala. Everything is milamala. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kol echon mikabel mimakam shemikabel. And every person we discussed has a sherish and shama. Every person has their own sinar. Every person has their own chelik in Torah that we're drawing from. Ayim b'makam acham izeh. He says we speak about this in the Kutumran in a different place. Ki bevada yesh be'inim zeh alafim urevavis madregas me'echon kol echon v'echon mikabel la'ara v'esnoitzitzus v'sichlam yezeh makam ashitim la'achidish ha'achachma. Every person, there's thousands, trillions of levels, right? From where each person since the Shama is rooted, what your chelik is, what you're drawn to, v'chule, v'chule. Every generation has their own nekuda, what kind of Torah they're learning, what chelik of Torah they're learning. And that's how it is. You know, every person has a different draw. Eina adam loymein ela b'makam shalibay chafet. Every person has a lave that's unique. Every person, and Torah contains within itself all of these different aspects that every person's own libay chafet can find the chafets, different chafets in the Torah. And that's where the chidushim are coming from. Ela ha'klal, ava ha'klal. But the bottom line is, shakol mini chidushim shemechadshim, all kinds of innovative ideas that the Chachamim, Shemechad Shema Chachamim, that the Chachamim are being Mechadesh, Hein B'Kedusha, whether it's in holiness, Kikayim Shatim, Drushim, Chiyotza that we talked about, Hein Lahavdol B'in Chachma Shalahem, HaKol Mashitim Lahem, V'Sholchim Lahem, B'Sichlam L'Malas. Rabbi Nachman says, even those that are big, a secular philosophers, founded on heresy, where did their heresy come from? Where did those ideas come from? That itself, ultimately, the ability to think, the fact that there are facts, is itself brings you back to that place of radical amazement, of wonder that we spoke about, that capacity to stand in awe of the fact that we can think, that a couple of liquids and molecules that work within this thing called a brain produce actual thoughts as a pele elyon, mamash a pele, pili plois. And so that's where Menachem says, ultimately, you always have to fall back on Amunah. Where does stuff come from? What's this all about? Ah, call me Lamala. So why should we spend time on Shtusim if we could spend our very short period of time that we have in life drawing from revelation, drawing from the Chachman that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into the world? L'chol echa v'echa mimakam haroi loy. And that's where Menachem ends the lengthy Sicha Hei. Okay, so let's now jump into Sicha Vav, which is a whole different Nekuda. This is one of the most famous Sichas in Sichas Aran, maybe in Kitzvei Breslau Bechlal, outside of Azamra, but this is a very, very famous piece. And it seems simple, but I wanna go a little bit beyond into some. We're not going to learn many sources inside. We have one. Lengthy source that we're going to try to get to, and okay, so let's get to it, okay? But first, we're going to read the Sicha. Yeah, it's another side. So first, we're going to read the Sicha Vav, and I want to point out different diukim as we go along. That it seems like a simple mashal and nimshal, but you have to be ma'amik in every word, in every expression, in every not just al derech remez rasha teva soifa teva, which Rabbi Nachman said on the Torahs that are lashon rabbeinu that he revealed. You can mamash mibedayik like a pasuk. He said that's how much energy he put into it. There's not one extra letter. Everything on it. There are amazing rasha tevas that are pili plays in Likut Imran. But over here, philosophically, everything Rabbi Nachman said was super super deep on a philosophical, a spiritual philosophical level, to be able really to focus what is he really saying. And so let's dive into this piece together. Vav. It's going to take us a short time to go through, but I want to revisit Nekudas. So let's first read it Tmimus of Bepshitas, the way that Rabbi Nachman would have wanted us to learn it. Sicha Vav. Hayetzahara daimen kamay misha hoylech v'ratz b'menei adam. The Yetzahara is comparable to a person that runs among crowds of people. You think about a fair, you think about Times Square, right? Massive people, before Corona, how it was, when things were still normal. Bezer Hashem, we'll get back to that and beyond that. The other skura, and this person's hand is closed. The ain adam yedea ma b'soich. And nobody knows what's in this person's hand. And it begins to fool people. Like tease people. Who can guess? You know, like a street performer. Who can guess what I have in my hand? It's not the greatest act, admittedly, but okay, but this is his Nehuda, okay? And simple-minded people, peasants, they get drawn into it, and people are like, I don't know, what's he holding? What do you think he's holding? And somehow he has these people, mamish, wrapped up into what he's holding in his hand, and every person, it appears, that it appears to each and every individual that the thing that he most wants, or at least that can fit into a hand, that's what he's holding. The key to some treasure chest that he always fantasized about finding and having a key to the treasure chest, or the map to a treasure chest, or this precious diamond that he was always thinking of, or, you know, if he's about to get engaged to somebody, he's thinking about maybe an engagement ring. Every person has in his own mind, based on his own Indian, that must be what that person's holding. And every single person starts running. He starts running and everyone starts chasing him because they've made it in their mind. They've gotten to this place where they're convinced and they've convinced themselves that he mamish has what they need. And if they can only have what he's holding, maybe he said, whoever can guess what I have gets it. You know, something like that, right? They start running after him. Because everybody thinks that this person has in his hand what he or she needs. And after this long, lengthy chase, he stops abruptly and everybody gathers around him, so waiting expectantly. They're sure that he's going to open his hand and see what they most desire. He opens his hand and there's nothing in there at all. Says the Heilige Rebbe, K'moikein mamish ha-yitzahar. This is literally, the Indian of the Yetzahara Shumarame Kol HaOlam, that he fools the whole world. Va'al Kol Ratzim Achrav, and every single person on some level, in some way, in some form. Because the Yetzahara doesn't just mean Taiva, but it means Gaiva, and it means everything that's rooted in an egotistical drive for self-gratification. That's what Yetzirah is. And so some people, it doesn't look lowly at all. Some people's Yetzirah could be even in Ruchnias, you understand? If it's a self-gratifying experience and it's not about the master of the world, but certainly in an outside, right, a person wants a certain job. Kavod is also Yetzirah, right? Kin a type of a kavod, might see him as Adam Na'ilam, right? All these things is wrapped up in the Nekuda of Yetzirah, but certainly Taiva, that's the most egotistical, right? That's the most self-serving, self-focused. It's all about you or me. So everybody is running after him. So every single person engages with the Yetzer Hara, certain that the Yetzer Hara has what he or she needs. Every person, in accordance with his own inyan, with his own shtus, what he thinks he needs. But in the end, basov, we're gonna go back and darshan on this. Basov, ultimately he opens his hand, the Yetzer Hara of Ein but Klum, and he has nothing. And there are so many psukim and mamar chazal to this effect. Yeshloi mana rotsa masayim. All these nukudis marba nechasa marba daga ein adam meis vechatzit tavasa biyadai. All of these mamar chazal, all these psukim speaking about the same exact thing. Speaking about the same thing, oyev kesef lo yizba kesef. Ultimately, there's no sof where a person says, he got him, you know, we arrived. There's nothing, there's no such thing. It's a never-ending cycle of emptiness, trying to fill it. And we're going to learn about that with that which cannot fill the void that we have, because the void we have is a void that's ruchni. We'll talk about that, and it needs to be filled with something else, like gamri. We're going to talk, Bezer Hashem, turn the page about that. But al kolpanim basof, he opens his hand, and not just that it was something else. That, okay, like it's a consolation prize. Okay, it wasn't a diamond ring, but it's like $5. Okay, I also take $5. Nothing. Ima klum. That's mashal number one. I'm going to get back to that. Gam ninvmu kol ataiva shel ha'olam kamoy amudei or. Another mashal. We're going to have to be medayik. Why two mashalim? What does Rabbi Nachman intend to add with this mashal that wasn't already implied in the first mashal? Or hanichnasa babayis. If you have a foggy room, right? Or you have some sort of sauna. And there's mist in the air. And you also have windows that are opened up, you know, to a desert or something. The very strong sun that's shining through the windows. And so this light is filtering into this room. Mina arachama, from the light of the sun, kaner b'chush, like oftentimes we've seen ourselves in experience. Sheim nidmim la'amudim, it can look like beams of light, right, cutting through the room, either coming in, you know, between the shades most often, and mamash looks like there's something there, right? Uki'ilu roitzim litfoisoisam. And it's almost like a person wants to just grab it, because like it looks like there's something there. Ha'amudei ar, shetoysim u'chaytvim. And a person starts trying to grab this pillar of light that's coming in between the shades into this foggy room. Ve'ein b'soich hayad klum. But ultimately, there's nothing there. There's nothing in his hand. You're grabbing it. It looks like there's something, but there's nothing. Kachin kol ha'tayv shal olam hazeh, says Ibn Nachman. This is the way that all tayv shal olam hazeh, again, covered, and all the different akudas that are wrapped up into a self-serving kind of life in this world, that it's not focused on all for the boss, it's not focused on only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Ritzoneinu Lasser Susenecha. If you start to clog up that sinar, and your Ratzon, which is Oisiyas Sinar, becomes something else, and you clog it up with your own means, right, with your own interests, ultimately, it's going to be impossible for you to find meaning, lasting meaning, eternal meaning, absolute meaning. What's the difference between these two mashalim? What's the difference between mashal A and mashal B? It appears that the same message is coming out from both of them, that the taivas of the Yetzer Hara are illusory, it's an illusion, and ultimately they leave a person with nothing, right? They leave a person with nothing. Why did Rabbi Nachman bring two mashalim? It wasn't stam, you know. Nothing was stam by him. So before we get into that, I want to read the piece again, and I want to make some diyukim here. Let's start from a couple of lines in. Ulechol echad, yeah, ulechol echad, to every person nidmed appears ki ilu hu oiches, is in the mashal mashu misave, that this person that's running, you know, between the crowds, who can guess what I have in my hand? Whoever guesses what I have in my hand keeps it, right? That every person thinks that he's holding what he needs. Everybody's running. There's nothing inside. So I mentioned before in passing, this nekuda of not only is it not what you wanted, but it's nothing at all. But I want to apply this, a little bit sensitive, but I want to apply this mamash to the Indian of Kedusha Sabris. Yet to many, many people, for some reason, it's a crazy thing, people assume, either because it's habitual already, many years of a certain cycle of behavior and a certain, and whatever that is emotionally, whatever, it's a big, big sugya, right? And it's far beyond spiritual. It's far beyond, it's connected to a person's emotional makeup and a certain stress release and certain nekudas that are deep, deep, deep within the nefesh of a person, that a person needs to really, you know, take a multifaceted approach to this issue, to try, b'tachbulis tasam olchama, you know, with many, many different strategies, or filters goes without saying, obviously, b'chule, every person on their own Indian and their own Madriga. But there seems to be some consensus that I cannot live without this. On whatever Madriga, again, each person could feed their Madriga, right? I cannot live without. I would not be able to function. I cannot live. I have not lived without this. I don't know what life without this looks like. V'chule. And there's a paradigm shift when you realize that nobody ever died from being Shomer Bris. There was no cause of death that he was Shomer Bris for a full year and he simply dropped dead. He could not continue living. He couldn't do it. Nobody died from being a tzaddik. On the contrary, tzaddikim afilu b'misasim krim chayim. There's even more life. There's even more life. Nobody died from this. And that means over here, what we're saying in these three words, ve'ein b'klum, is that you'll survive. You'll survive. It's not muchrich to your existence. Ein b'klum. Not only that it's a miserable existence, but at least it's an existence. No. It is not providing you anything. You don't need it. You do not need it. There is a way of being able to live. You might need a supplement. You might need v'chule, v'chule. You know, there's a lot of different. There's not a shmir zabrish here now. There's a lot of different, like I said, v'tachbulis tasam olchama. There's many different tools out there, first of all, aside from filters, but there's other things now. But Chazei Hashem, Guard Your Eyes is an incredible organization, and they have so many resources for a person who's serious about tackling this issue. But inner emotional work, really understanding, but panemius, the Indian of Hashba and Bris, v'chule, 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 there's so many things. But this is an important thing. The Yetzirah has nothing for us. Not even a miserable existence, but Akapanim is an existence. Because you can live without it. You can. No one died from being Shomer Bris. Bake that into your heart for a moment. Nobody ever passed away from Shomer Bris. Ein b'klum. That's the first thing. I'll go two lines later. Rabbi Nachman says that every person is running after the Yetzer Hara. Ke'ilu yesh b'yadam mashu chafetz, that the Yetzer Hara has in his hand something that we need. Kolecha g'vishtusa v'tavasai. V'acher kach basof hu pasech es yadav ve'ein b'klum. Now this word basof is intentionally vague because for some people it's right away. For some people, it's mamash even b'shas ma'isa. A person knows if he's engaged in a lowly thing, we know it's not going to satisfy me. And the moment that it's over, I'm just as empty as I was beforehand, even emptier. And v'chule, v'chule. Some people, that's the sof. But some people, the sof could be many years. But every person has a sof. B'chadre chadarim, b'pnim p'nimiyas. They may be too embarrassed to admit that they wasted their entire lives. But basof, there comes a time, like the Medrash says on the Pasuk, v'ayhi miketz nasayim yamim, ketz sam l'choshech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into darkness that there is an end to darkness. Darkness has an end. And so much of what Rabbi Nachman wants from us, so much of what Rabbi Nassim wants from us is to hang out until the end. That even though it appears to a person as if there's years and decades sometimes of you read this and not stop, and I cannot, and I tried everything, v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. What do you know what tomorrow is going to bring? Kate's Sam L'Choshech, I mentioned recently, it might have been in the context of this year, I don't remember, forgive me if I already said this, but it's so important to review. The famous Mashal of Rabbi Nachman, we're not going to go into the whole thing now because I want to get to another story for Rabbi Nachman. The last 10 minutes we have. But there's a famous mashal, Rabbi Nachman, that's the mashal of Marar. Maybe I mentioned it to some of you. The mashal of Marar. I just mentioned it in a previous year, in a parsha year, last week, 2 weeks ago. Rabbi Nachman has a mashal that there are two paupers, two Ukrainian paupers, one's a Jew, one's a guy. Best friends in the world, they hang out together, they scrounge through the garbage, I don't know if that's a word nowadays, but they mama's looking through to find little scraps of food to eat, and they're always helping each other. And one day, around springtime, you know, the Jew comes and he says, my friend Ivan, whatever, mamash, tonight is our big night. He said, tonight the Jews make a phenomenal feast, and we're going to come And you know, they open their doors. Everybody could come and eat. They're going to make a big, big feast tonight. We're going to eat like kings. He says, I'm in. Great. So they go to a synagogue. They go to a shul. They hang out in the back. And they're the last two people left in the shul. And somebody invariably comes in looking for, you know, if there's anybody that doesn't have a place to eat for the Seder, right? You see these two people. He says, come to my house. You'll eat by me. Okay. He goes, so we're not going to go through the whole routine now. Kadesh. And then Orchatz. Karpas. Yachatz. And the guy's sitting there like, when's the meal? When's the meal? All these ridiculous things. A little bit of wine, and then like a bitter radish or potato, and then they wash their hands, and then they got a cracker, on and on, and then mamash they start talking, mamash just going on and on, maggid, it goes forever, forever, forever. Rachsa again, mitzi matzah with a cracker, and then he's mamash, and it's hours already, and he's waiting, and he's thinking to himself, what a fool, you know, how much he was fooled by this person. And then, you know, finally he sees, okay, they clear the table a little bit and they start bringing out in bags, you know, there's a white substance, maybe caviar or something, like the most fancy delicacy in the world. Only the Jews know about this. He never saw it before. And they start to dole out little bits of this white substance, you know, onto everybody's little crackers over here. And mamish, you know, he's so excited and he gets his cracker and he waits until everybody's eating. And he takes one bite and, you know, feels this pain, this burning heat shooting up his nose and down into his stomach, and his whole face is on fire. And he thinks to himself, like, mamish, it's the worst. You know, these Jews are terrible, and this person took me for a fool. And he spits it out, and he throws his plate all over the table, and he runs out of the house. A couple of hours later, you know, the yid comes back to the garbage dump, and he kicks him, you know. And he wakes up, he looks up, and he starts screaming at him, what do you think? What kind of fool do you think I am? You fooled me, you tricked me. And, you know, he has his belt open already, you know. And he says, Gevalt. He says, if you would have waited 5 more minutes, you would have had Shulchan Aruch. If you would have waited 5 more minutes, you would have had the biggest feast in the world. Rabbi Nachman says, this is how life is. He says, we encounter Marah in our lives, and sometimes we encounter a whole lot of waiting for things that we want. But the Heilige Rebbe says, don't give up, ancient Miyash Balam Kla, because you don't know what Hashem has planned for you in the next moment. Do you know that every single minute is brand new? Hamachadish betuva b'chaliyim tam and ma'aserishes, drawing from a new mazel, a new ar, and the hanhagas of the world are shifting every moment. So what is this nekuda that it was always like this, and so it's always going to be like this? What do you know? Kate samlachoshech basof. And even if a person is not in this consciousness of being aware that the Yetzirah is mamish klum to the point that we could laugh from the Yetzirah, that Rabbi Nachman said, if the Gemara didn't tell us that we couldn't say gir be'ena de sitna, you know, arrows in the eyes of the satan, like you have no effect over me. Rabbi Nachman said, if Chazal didn't say that we couldn't say that, I would say that. Mamish, you know, to laugh at him, he's a joke. The Yetzirah is pashut a joke. You get to a madriga, of course there's madrigas and madrigas and madrigas and madrigas, but you get to a point where it's like you understand the position of the Yetzirah so well and his purpose and how to defeat him that he has nothing on you. Nothing. This is the way the tzaddikim live. Nothing on it. It's a joke. So for many of us, for most of us, maybe for all of us here and anybody listening, we're not on that madriga. And it's not so much a joke. And sometimes he still grabs us. And if it's not in taiva, aveiras gasas, and it's in lashon hara, at kulabavach lashon hara, avag gezel, whatever it is, every person in their own madriga. That's why I say the yitzhar is much broader than just the Indian of shmiras habris. You know, today when people say yitzhar, they mean shmiras habris. There's a lot of other things also, you know? It's a lot of other things also. And all of that is wrapped up into the bechin of egoism. All that is wrapped up into the bechin of self-gratification, of not being a channel for ruchnius, not being a channel for God's light, and to serve our mission as a shliach in this world. But eventually you get to a level where it's basov. But for many of us, we haven't encountered that basov. So Rabbi Nachman says, keep on waiting. Don't leave the Seder. Don't leave the Seder. Because you never know when Shulchan Aruch is starting. You never know when Kate Sam Lachoshech is kicking in. So that's an akuda of Basov, who Paseach is Yadav in Baklum. And every person realizes, wow, this is not the way to live, and it's time to live in a different way. Ki'in Mishi and Malat Havose Etzla. What's the distinction between the first mashal and the second mashal? And then we'll get into the Heliga Maisei Me Plump, the holy story about the plum, about the pump, Bezer Hashem, which is a phenomenal thing in the last 10 minutes. I don't know if they're going to have a minute for Marv in this weather. Maybe they will. We cannot almost make a minion, and we'll see. But if we, you know, we can go a little bit 5 minutes over because we started late, maybe we will. But what's the difference between the first mashal and the second mashal? And the difference is like this. Says the Heilige Rebbe, Uki ilu roitzim litvay soysam. It's as if, uki ilu, a person wants to grab those amu they are. The aim was sechayad klum. Now over here, there's a mighty distinction between the mashal as laid out in the first mashal and over here. Why? Because in the first mashal, The nekuda of running after this person was shtus me'ikara. Was shtus me'ikara in the sense that you're, meaning what changed in your day now, what changed, was that you have this stranger who is completely, we talked about yesh me'yesh, who's completely outside of you, no shaychas to you, who convinces you in your mind, right, that he has something in a hand that doesn't belong to you, all this stuff is outside of you, and your imagination runs wild, and memeli, you run after him, but there was nothing, me'ikara, there was nothing. Me'ikara, there was nothing. Over here, it's a little bit different because it's not his hand, it's your hand. And it's not his ratzon, it's your ratzon. Uki'ilu ratzim, that you have built in with you a desire to grab. Now the nekuda he is, and this is nuanced, that over here, the desire to grab is a holy desire. Unlike over there, that the whole thing was triggered by the Yetzirah, which is this person who comes and says, who knows what's in my hand? That starts the whole process. Over here, you feel compelled to grab, and that feeling of being compelled is a good thing. That I saw from one of the tzaddikim, it's actually brought in the book, A Story of Our Lives, is the nekuda of anuratzim veheim ratzim. Well, I didn't say kulanu ratzim. Everybody in the world is running. Anuratzim, you know, latama tayra, whatever it is, lebeis hamedrash, whatever the lashon is. Veheim ratzim lebeir shachas. Just say kulanu ratzim. What's the same words? Anuratzim veheim ratzim. So I can't remember. It's the Chalban. Somebody says, you know what it means, anuratzim veheim ratzim? Because we're trying to point out to you that it's the same compulsion to run. The anuratzim that we have to the base medrash is the same anuratzim as the heim ratzim. But they don't understand what it is inside of them that's compelling them to search. That's creating that feeling of void, of lack. So they try to fill it in be'er shachas, but basof is klum. But the etzem anuratzim is a holy anuratzim. The etzem desire, even though oftentimes it takes the form of something negative, it's because we just don't know what we really want, and so we think we want that. And says Rabbi Nachman, you know how ridiculous that is, because give up, you're trying to capture something ruchni, right, or something non-tangible with your hand. So what is that? That's ridiculous. And flip the muscle now. Says Rabbi Nachman, you have a ruchnius hand, right, which is composed of the R, right, inside, anuratzim, and you're trying to grab it, something gashmi. Those two things don't have no shaychus. The Baal Tanya, you know, I think it's in Igaris HaKodesh. Can't remember right now. Maybe it's in Shaykh of Emunah toward the end. But the Baal Tanya has this muscle where he tries to say that it's so impossible to say ki'ilu, that ein anu hasaga, you know, we have no hasaga in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that at least machshava tfisa beklal, like the Zohar Kodesh says, our mind cannot grasp HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says that is so inadequate and ridiculous. You know what that's saying? Because we have no other words to describe that, how in or ungraspable HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But he says that's like a person saying, wow, that thought was so deep, I couldn't even hold it in my hand. It's not the same nekuda, right? It's not the same. It doesn't function in the same category of things that can grasp and can be grasped. It's not, the machshava has no chance of grasping a kaddish baruch. It's like a hand trying to grasp a thought. It's not simply that it's too big and so I can't hold it, but it's essentially holdable. I just don't have capacity to hold it. It's a different category. It's not the same thing. Trying to smell a sound, all these things. There's something to that. But over here in the context of this mashal, the grabbing and the desire to grab is holy, it's good. You have to channel it. You have to know what it is in you that's pushing you to grab. And grab what's in the same category. That you have a ruchni inyan of anuratzin, grab ruchni is. But over here, it's not the same category. As you have a physical hand, and in the nimshal, it's a little complicated, and the nimshal is a ruchni stick, a desire to grab, trying to grab something ruchni, which is something physical, right? In the nimshal. So it's not the same category, it just doesn't go. But once we realize this, we're able to channel, we're able to redirect all of those ritzinus that we have to something holy, to something pure, in the proper way. Okay, let's jump in very, very quickly. We're going to do this quickly. Siyata Deshmaya, the last couple of minutes left. This story is brought, like the story of the Maror also. It's not one of Rabbi Nachman's stories. It's not Sipur Maisei, it's the 13 stories. But there are stories that are brought at the end. Maisei Mibitachin, Maisei Mealechem is one of the hidden stories. There are different stories that were recorded in different Svarim of Kisrei Breslov. And this is called the Maisei Mealplump, which in Ukrainian means pump. Okay, the story of the plume. What's that?
It was in the end of Sporomyces?
It was originally printed in the end of Sporomyces. Now I just looked in the actual Sporomyces. I couldn't find it. But in the previous version, that's where, in the Sefer where I saw this, it's at Hosafos, the Sporomyces. Maybe it's from Chaim Aran, I don't know exactly. But let's do this quickly. We have a few minutes left. The Sporomyces, Ibn Achim told somewhat of a comedic story, a funny story. But not funny at all. Very, very sad, very tragic. This person didn't believe, and it's bold because it's connected to what we just learned. He didn't believe that there are leitzim misitra achra, those that come to fool, to be mata the world, like many times, right? That the Yetzer comes and tricks us and fools us and makes a mockery of us. He makes it like he's our friend and he stabs us in the back of the end. You know how it goes, the same sipur. He didn't believe this. Hamachas Balaila one night, but etzle leitz echad, one of these ruchniastika leitzim came to attack him. V'kariel achutzi yetzin, he called this person outside his house and he says, hey, come outside, I have something to show you. Yatzel achutzi came outside. V'herale haleitz, yishle sus noy limkar. And this leitz, again, this ruchni sort of shindalit, I don't know what it was exactly, but he said, you know, I have a beautiful, look at this horse, a beautiful horse to sell. Vayar, and he looked, Vihine, who's just naim, oh, hey, it's a beautiful horse. He never saw such a horse like this, which are very, very expensive horses, even now, certainly then. Vishalu would say, okay, he says, Kama at the road, so like how much do you want for it? Hey, Shavalates, he says, man, Arba Adumim, just 4 gold coins. Vrai, and this person realized, Shushave, I don't know exactly what this word is, Bishufi, Bishufe. I don't know if it shows up anywhere else aside from this, because I Google searched it and this came up. So I don't know, maybe it means like Ukrainian for shop, Bishupe in the shops, I don't know exactly. Because in Hebrew, shop is Shinvav Pei, I don't know exactly. But he knows that it can go for Shmoina Adum. Mamashi can sell it for double the price. It's a bargain, bargain, bargain of a deal. It's an amazing horse. But Kana Etzle Asus Bar Arba Adum, right away he goes ahead and he buys this horse for Arba Adum without a question. But who Etzle Mitzia Gedoyla? And he says, Gavalt, I bought this thing, Mamash, for half price. Mamash for half price. And if you're talking about like $1,000, it's a good deal. It's not just for $5 where it was 10. It's a lot of money he saved. Mamash, a lot of money. So the next day he says, okay, obviously he's going to flip it without a question. He's going to go to the, he's going to go, and now, you know, he made a good $4,000, whatever it was, right? And he stands up there with his beautiful horse. And certain people come, and they're trying to offer him money. Amar, and he said, he says, Gavalt, even if I charge 8, I could probably charge 16. That's such a nice horse, better than what they're trying to give me. And so he went weiter with the horse. They said, okay, we'll pay you 16. It's probably even worth even more than what he's trying to give me, for sure. And it went onward. It came in from 8 whatever gold coins, thousands of gold coins, and he kept on going and refusing. Every person wants to pay him more, and he says, no, I'm holding out. And he didn't want to sell it to anybody. It's even worth even more than what they're giving me. I can make even more. Until there was nobody who had enough money to buy this horse that he was mamash making into a big deal. You should know that I saw in the news that there was this person that made clothes very, very cheaply in China and charged a phenomenal amount for them and made it ke'ilu like it was this very fancy brand. And people were mamish buying this stuff for thousands of dollars because he priced it that way and he marketed it that way. Memela, it became its own value of people saying, wow, this is a brand to buy because it was so expensive, not because Be'etzim was expensive. And that's, you know, Lechu Gemar, all the brands are like that. It's not, you're not paying thousands of dollars for a belt. What do you pay for already? You know how much it costs? Stuyot, this whole world is Hevel Avolim. Such us. Anyway, so that's the Nakuda here. Mamash, he's holding out. And only the Melech could buy. By Lichel Melech, he goes to the king. The king wants to give him so much money. It was a beautiful horse. He says to the king, sorry, turning down. There's nobody who has more money. What are you holding out for? Very nice. So he goes home with his horse. A successful day. I mean, what? He takes the sis. Now this, you know, can imagine how much more, you know, the sis is valued now. I mean, you know, the king was willing to pay for it to buy it. And he goes, he needs the horse needs a drink. He takes it into a pump. Right? He goes and he brings this horse to the pump to water this horse to give it to drink. And guess what happened? And the horse jumped into the pump. And it was gone. It disappeared. The whole thing was an illusion again. There was not really a sus. It was just a maisa leitzim, the whole thing. And he started screaming. And many people came to run to see what's this person screaming about. What are you screaming? Hey, Shivs, he answers them. My horse jumped into the pump, like a little pipe. They started hitting him. It's like you're a crazy person. Why are you taking us away from what we were doing? Right, the neck of the little hole of the pump is very, very narrow. A horse can't jump into a little tiny thing. It's ridiculous. And he mamash wanted to leave because he said, these people are attacking me. I can't. I want to leave. Right? As he's leaving, again, it's all a dimayon. He sees that the horse, he sees the little face of the horse sticking out of the pipe. He goes crazy. He hits the lips like Shanis, Chaver, come! You see the horse and the pipe screaming. They're hitting him. There's nothing there. And he wanted to leave again, but he takes one little last glance back at the pipe, and what did he see? He sees that horse just sticking his head out of the pipe again. And he spends his whole life sitting by this pump with the little face of the horse that he wanted to sell and that he never sold because he was holding out. And the whole thing is maisa leitzim. The whole thing is a dimayon gadol ma'od. And this is how we are. Mamash go to marav. This is mamash how we are. We wait and we hold out and we say, okay, the Yitzhar wants to give us this amount. Okay, for that in Hanami, it's not really worth losing the whole Yiddishkeit. But yeah, I'm sure he has more to give me. So I'll hang out with him another 15 minutes. Maybe there's going to be a bigger taiva. Maybe there's going to be a bigger tainik that will then be worth it. And it turns out that at the end, there's weiter nothing. And then there's weiter nothing. And shuv weiter nothing. But he keeps on teasing us and keeps on sticking his little face out of the pipe to come and draw us back. But chevra, it's a dimyon echad gadol. This world is havle havolim, mamish hakol hevel kipshutei, hakol hevel. Hakol hevel. That's the Indian of the Yitzhahara that's running Beimini Adam with his hand up high, holding this thing that he has nothing in but klum, and that we feel compelled to grab something, and the feeling of being compelled is a good thing. Mia balabira. That's really the question. Mia balabira. You know what Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu? Lech lecha. Stop trying to go around all the world looking for me. Go inside. Go inside and you'll find what you're looking for. This is the Nekuda, Tmimus of Pshitas that we spoke about. Yiras Ha'oinesh. Basics, revelation. Now without all the stupid complexity. It's hevel. We're only in this world. We should all live long and happy for 120 years. Not that long. Let's make use of every moment. Tire and avoid the davening and learning and davening. Beizar Hashem should be zeich mamish to make every moment count. To really make every moment count and to take these little moments of finite time and lift them up into infinity to eternal meaning. Siyata Deshmaya with the help of the Master of the World. Thank you so much for coming. And we caught up. Okay, so next time we'll start with Sicha Zayin. Tzvashem.